deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 47 of Flashpoint. We've got another four-way conversation this week, which I'm really pleased about. Before I get on to our special guest, I obviously tip my hat to the two people that keep me sane each fortnight, starting off this time with Christy. Christy, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Christy's just been out the back and killed her dog because it was making too much noise. So if she sounds a little bit shaky in the voice, that's why.
She was whining too much.
You said that very well. That was a very cold sound, like you actually had killed it. Now I'm worried. Simon, how are you, mate?
I have the hands of an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah, so before this, we started recording, Simon, so you've been doing, what was it, grouting and something else? Cleaning.
And bleaching.
Bleaching.
And repainting. And yeah.
Yeah.
It's not my hands. Not my hands. I've got them in a jar at the back, though. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. And our special guest this episode is someone that's had a lot of popularity on the Oceanic Gamer site, writing about what's one of the world's actual most popular MMOs, World of Tanks, and that's Mr. Matthew Scope Pierce. Matthew, how are you, mate?
Howdy, howdy.
And thanks for coming on. Good to have you.
Indeed.
So we've got quite a bit to get through, as always, so let's jump straight into some Star Wars The Old Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
It was just around the time we last broadcast that free-to-play went live, and we've now all had a bit of a chance to get in and play a lot of it. So I thought we'd start with a bit of a roundtable on how we've found it, particularly from the different sides of the fences as far as subscribers and preferred players and free-to-players. So we'll start probably with you, Christy. How have you found it the last 2 weeks? What's started to annoy you, or has nothing annoyed you? It's improved your experience of the game?
Unfortunately, preferred player status has annoyed me so much that I grabbed the 2-month standalone subscription.
Oh.
So I'm a sub player at the moment. But it was just frustrating me way too much. And unfortunately, it's kind of one of those things that once those 2 months are up, it's going to be like, oh, am I going to pay for another month, or am I just going to, you know, focus on WoW again or something like that?
What was the particular things that annoyed you?
Oh, it's just the little things, the quick slots, the experience, the lack, well, the, you know, drop of experience. I noticed when I played for a character as a subscriber, I definitely was a few levels higher than when I was as a preferred player. So the experience drop is noticeable enough. I mean, it's not frustrating, but it's definitely enough that it made me not want to play. So I thought, yeah, I'll drop $30 on it and see how it goes. But they have announced that there will be apparently 4 clicks, quick slot bars, and 6 characters for preferred players coming. So maybe once those 2 months are up, I can drop back down and see how it goes.
See, there's 2 great points there. Number one, that you actually did drop some money because of the frustrations. You'd love to know how many people have done the same thing versus just given up. And then number two, as you said, they're bringing more quick bar slots and extra character slots, whether they might be actually shooting themselves in the foot income-wise if the majority of people did what you did and actually dropped some money on a couple of months of subscription.
Yeah, see, I would have preferred to drop $30 into the actual the cash store, you know, buying cool, fun things instead of buying, you know, a subscription. So we'll have to see how it goes. But So far I'm playing it. I've given them money, so I, you know, they've got what they want, but whether they're going to keep getting what they want is a different story.
Yeah, and that's a great point as well. They could have cannibalized their cartel market sales for some temporary subscriptions. Yeah, that's interesting. Matthew, impressions since Free to Play?
The servers are a lot more busier, which is great. Guild recruitment's gone skyrocketing up. I was a bit pessimistic when I heard the news of Free to Play. I was like, oh yeah, they're going to do pay to win or it's going to be terrible. But I'm starting to like the fact that there's more people coming back and playing the game, because the servers that I'm on, they were just getting really dead to the point where I was like, do I really want to resub each month? You know, do I really want to play on a server where I'm the only person on the fleet at times that I play, you know? Mm-hmm. And going back to the starting worlds and finding new people who are coming in who haven't experienced the story, and I'm here helping them and saying, hey, look, if you do this, you can get that, and would you like to join my guild, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to help them get interested in the game and stay with the game to help the server progress or expand, you know.
So you're seeing quite a few people that are brand new players.
Oh, yeah, heaps of them. Yeah, we get about 15 new players each day into my guild, which is ridiculous. Whether or not these players are going to stay and continue playing is all up in the air, but it doesn't matter. As long as we, or my clan that I run, gets these new players in and shows them that they can have fun and make them feel welcome instead of other players who are, like, shunning the free-to-players away, you know. It's like, well, that ain't going to help the server much now, is it, you know? And we're trying to keep players interested as much as possible, as well as help them enjoy the game like we first did when we first played through the game, you know.
Yeah, and it's coming up to a year since launch, and you're right, we're getting that first experience of having a veteran cohort of people that are starting to shepherd some new people through, and this has been the first opportunity to get a big wave of people in, because prior to that, people just didn't seem to be picking up subscriptions. So, yeah, great point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Simon?
Yes.
Just think of grouting as part of Star Wars The Old Republic. How have you found that the last 2 weeks?
Well, social doesn't get under my fingernails quite as much. I'm actually still feeling fairly positive about free-to-play. I think we're going to see a fair few refinements over the next few weeks. I mean, the servers came down again on Wednesday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Indeed. And there was a bit of a refresh of the store. I'm not sure whether they had to just do a bit of patching or whether that was anything to do with the refreshing of stock on the store. I hope they can do that live rather than having to take things down in order to top it up, because that'd be really inconvenient
that
otherwise.
They had to take it down to fix the issue with companions. People were having companion issues, like they'd have to take off all their gear and put it back on in order to get their kinks, so to speak, or actually to get the statistics
stats,
working.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that was something to do with HK51, wasn't it? They tried to do a fix for something that was going wrong with him, and that ended up affecting all the companions. But anyway, I've played more as my free to play character, and Derpster's been running around quite happily. In all honesty, you do notice things, especially as a subbed player, the various bits and pieces that you don't get. Like you can't choose when you get you can have this or this. When you're subbed for the rewards at the end of a mission, you don't get to do that. You don't get to choose. You get given one of them randomly. You've got no control over that. And the drop-off of XP when you hit level 10. And yes, oddly enough, Derpster hit level 10 while he was still on the Origin world.
And what is Derpster, by the way? What class?
Derpster's a Jedi Consular.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Welcome to... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I decided I'd make him a class that I have absolutely no interest in.
Well, that's like me.
Did you go Sage or Shadow?
I haven't got that far yet. He's got to the fleet and he's just sort of having a bit of a mooch around and staring at people. And there's plenty of people to stare at too, which is the great thing. As you say, the population has bumped up. I did notice that shepherding can go two ways though. There was one guy who on Typhon who was in general chat, and general chat's become even more bizarre than it was before free-to-play. And he was going, where's the trainer, where's the trainer? Being a bit annoying, I have to admit. So someone helpfully advised him that the trainer was right at the back of one of the mob areas. So just send him on his way. Yep, that's where he is. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, see, that's what makes MMOs worthwhile. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I can just imagine it now. This trainer's hurting me. Yeah. Why am I dead?
Why would you teach me skills? I just want to learn.
Why are you talking about rock cave, rock power? What the hell's wrong with you? And what's wrong with your face? But anyway, that's a Star Wars reference that we won't go into right now. I can't really say that as a free to play player, it's been that bad. There's a lot of things you do notice missing, but it's just having those two extra bars appear on my screen when I went back into one of my subbed characters, because I desperately want to start this whole the whole HK51, but I've got to go back to Hoth to start that off, so that's a bit irritating. But I understand, Matthew, you've got some thoughts on HK51.
I love him. He is awesome. Yes.
So you've already got him.
Oh, every single one of my characters has him.
Oh, wow. That's thorough.
I've got 8 level 50s on my Empire server and then another few 50s on the Republic server that I play on. And each one of them has a HK51. After I got him the first time and he comes with full gear and you just look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is decked out.
How long did the quest line take you? Let's not say the first time you did it, but by the time you got to time number 8, how long was it taking you to get him?
It took me a good night with 3 of my mates running through the quest chain or mission chain, so to speak, to achieve him. Probably the hardest parts of that is not really more. It's not so much about combat. It's just that annoying feeling when you're just standing here with this little sensor unit, plunging it into the ground, and you got to wait like 20 seconds for it to scan, and then that red text that comes up on the screen saying no HK parts found within 25 meters, and then you've got to move another 25 meters, scan again, and that can take up to 2 hours. I mean, Hoth took me so long, and then you had a whole bunch of Republic guys come along and say, hey, there's that guy called Scope, let's gank him. So of course, me by myself, I only managed to kill 3 out of the 4 guys taking me on, but you know, there's only so much a PvP guy like I can do.
They stole archaeology from WoW,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you just beat me to it, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's, you're allowed to beat me to it. You're right. And I hate archaeology in WoW, so I've just been turned off of HK51.
Oh, but the story chain about getting HK is really enjoyable. I love talking to HK. He's just such a funny character to if you've played KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2 and you knew HK-47 from that, it's the same voice actor. I'm pretty certain it's the same voice actor who does 51, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah, it is. They brought the same back.
And I feel like I should, you know, we should all bow to Ed, just all this talk about KOTOR and HK-47 and stuff. It just, I don't know.
And his evil laugh.
Yeah, and his evil. It's his spirit's in the room. I can feel it.
I thought that was the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about something else, sorry.
Yeah, the good old dog.
There is no dog.
No, not anymore, there's not. As far as my, not that anyone's probably interested, but my last 2 weeks with Suator, I've actually played quite a bit again, ran my first, this is so sad to admit this, and Matthew, you probably just want to groan, I just ran my first hard mode Flashpoint in the last 2 weeks and thoroughly enjoyed that. And... yeah, didn't know, as a subscriber, obviously haven't noticed a lot of difference with free to play beyond having access to the cartel market. And yeah, bigger, more people on the servers, doing some bonus series stuff on Cutler the Planet still, so more people around. That's about it.
Did you end up buying any cartel packs?
No, it's one of those things. I've got 3,000 cartel coins there, and I just can't bring myself to make that first purchase because, you know, the things are 400, 500, 600, and I just thought, oh, I don't want to do the wrong thing.
I would definitely recommend very highly the rocket boots. They are so cheap in the cartel coin currency compared to, say, 2 million credits in-game. And the best thing about them is you can use the rocket boots in areas where you cannot use mounts. So, say, you've just run into a front of an instance, you know, through those green phase shields, and you get dismounted. And you're like, oh, I've got to do this long run. You just hit rocket boots. You're back at 110% speed for another 30 seconds. And it's just amazing. And it applies it to all your characters, and it's so cheap. Oh, so yeah, definitely loved it.
Just the fact, yeah. I might even go back to Taris or something if I've got them.
Yeah. Don't do something like I did and drop $80 on the cartel coins just to buy those stupid packs and not get a throne and then go, I didn't get a throne.
Yeah.
But yes, that's my rant. Like that.
No, that's good.
I've only got 300 coins left. Those pokey boxes are really annoying me.
I'm not a fan of the lucky dip system. I was under the impression that when they were going to bring it out, it was going to be like Lotro's free-to-play system. You'll be like, oh yeah, I like that mount, the Knight Steed or something from Lotro, and you buy it, $20, and now your character's got an awesome mount. But you jump into the Old Republic, it's like, lucky dip. Come and get your lucky dip. And yeah, so I've had to buy each of my thrones for credits on the GTN.
I might have to resort to that. Now I've got three new lawnmowers that I really didn't want, and two stupid looking monkey pets, and two other stupid looking pets I don't want.
Those monkey pets are going for around a mil.
Don't want it. Anyway, maybe. What's it worth to you?
Mil credit.
The spirit of a dog.
So if SWTOR ends up being the success, wow, is someone out there will eventually have a blog called JediLawnmowers.com or something. I like the lawnmowers reference.
Well, that's what they look like.
They do. You're right. I agree totally. And
that's the one thing about Firefall. It's got some cool-looking things you can ride. They look like motorbikes, and they're awesome. Anyway, sorry. Oops.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We might talk about Firefall later. Preferred player changes we've already talked about, and then 1.6 has hit the PTS. Who would like to talk about what the key changes are coming with 1.6?
I like how no one put their hands up.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, gosh. All right, well, I'm really looking forward to the new PvP zone, being a PvPer myself. But one of the main things on my server is the lack of PvP. You're on a PvP server to PvP, but it's hard to get in queues. So it's going to be interesting to see how many of those I'm going to be able to do a day, and if you actually get to try the new one out. I tried to get onto the test server, but they still have that thing where you've got to level up, and you just like, I really want to have to level up to experience this stuff.
Yeah, We're all in violent agreement about how much we hate the PTS for that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no video game company has ever managed to find a way of transferring your existing characters off a live server onto a test server. For some reason, it's just dumbfounded the entire industry.
Yes, you're right.
Exactly.
Totally never seen it before.
No, never.
How are you even going to do the level 50 space combat missions, let alone the flashpoints?
Well, who the hell's giving them any of the feedback? There's no one on the test server. Every time I've gone on there, there's been like three people. I'm thinking, oh, wow, well, they're really knocking the bugs out of this puppy.
So the new Warzone, Matthew mentions Ancient Hypergate, and then you just briefly mentioned the space combat. So there's new weekly heroic space combat missions. I think I've said a whole bunch of episodes. I think I've done about three space missions and have never gone back to them. It's on the to-do list, but I know a lot of people are excited about those.
Yeah, apparently they're very hard to do. And I've got most of my characters in the purple grade, I think grade 6 gear. That I made from my Cybertech crafter guy. And from what I've been reading on the forums, they say that you cannot do it in grade 6 gear. So I don't know what they're thinking. Am I expected to go back and grind all the space missions that I've already had to do to get those parts? like the power conversion module, the proton torpedo, the what's the other one, EMP discharge thing. You know, apparently those are all useless in these new heroic things. You need the new heroic grade 7 gear that's coming out.
Yep.
To even stand a chance. So it's like, well, hey, you've got these new things to play, but you have to go back and do all the old stuff to play it first. It's like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, but luckily there's no grind in SWTOR, so that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's all story-driven. Story-driven space missions.
Yes.
Like the Inquisitor storyline. No spoilers, but Death Star Ray. Awesome.
You guys are cards. Anything else on SWTOR before we move on?
Ooh, Chinese gear.
Oh, right, yeah, now? For 1.6, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
You go.
No, you go.
All right, fine, I'll go. Chinese gear is they're going to add a new mission, kind of like what they did with the recruit PvP gear to try and help new players who just hit 50 to compete against people, say, in Battlemaster, Champion, Centurion gear, or the War Hero gear, and coming in next patch, the Elite War Hero gear, which is the next step up. There's such a big gap there at the moment. But they've got the same... they're bringing out for the PvEers. So people who have just hit 50 and say like in oranges and greens and like, well, I want to do a heroic flashpoint, but everyone's kicking me out of groups because I haven't got gear, or I want to do a flash an operation, but I'm getting kicked out because I don't have the gear. They're adding a Tyanese, which I think was tier one, or, you know, you'd get that from flashpoints. They're giving you, I think it was 99 commendations or something, which is almost enough, if not, you know, practically enough to buy a full set of tier one gear to give you a nice head start into operations and flashpoints, which I think is real good.
It is. It's one of the many things I think they're trying to do to make that end game, transition end game, a little bit smoother, because it sure as hell isn't smooth at times now.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and I mean, we obviously don't have a release date for 1.6, but given it's only been on the PTS a little while, I say it's got a, well, it could be before Christmas, I suppose, but...
It'd be interesting if it did land before Christmas, though.
Maybe, yeah, they might do it as coincide with sort of the year anniversary of the launch or something, so...
Well, we know Wookiee Life Day is coming, and that's supposed to be something around Christmas, so there could be 1.6 landing either before or after that, we don't know. But another thing on the PvP side of things, which I'm more interested in, is the fact that they are removing the Battlemaster gear, which was the one before, I think it was patch 1.4, they added War Hero. So Battlemaster was the best gear up until then. Now they've got War Hero, and in 1.6 they're adding Elite War Hero. So if you're currently working on your Battlemaster gear, probably best to either... if you want to complete the set, go ahead, do it. But if you're like me and say, all right, stuff it, I'm going to save up all the Warzone commendations, they're going to be lowering the price of War Hero gear down to the price of what currently is Battlemaster gear. So you'll be able to get better gear for the same price. So if you're like me, save your commendations and get better gear for the same price. Definitely worth doing.
Good tip on top of the rocket boots, which I'm very excited to buy now.
Rocket boost.
Oh, yeah, it's boost, not boots.
Oh, damn, I thought it was rocket boots.
You do get rocket boots, unless you're wearing a jetpack, in which case you fly with a jetpack.
Yeah, so bounty hunters get jetpacks, everyone else gets boots from which rockets come.
Yes.
Out of.
But they're not rocket boots.
Okay. Yes. All right. I'm still...
yes, come out of, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing sus.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Excellent. Well, there's Star Wars The Old Republic for this episode, and yeah, lots happening, which is great. So let's move on to The Secret World. Since 1.4 or issue 4 went live... when was it now? It's been a good 2 weeks. Actually, it was just around the time of the last episode as well. So, again, probably just a bit of roundtable on impressions. So, I know, Christy, you and I are the only ones that have played The Secret World in the past fortnight. So, Christy, you first. How have you found it?
Oh, last weekend I fell back in love with it. Not that I ever fell out of love with it, but I fell more in love with it. I'm just in love, that's all, really. It's amazing fun. I'm still surprised at how much that game can scare me. Like, I haven't been this scared playing a game since I was a teenager, and it was Morpheus of all games. But, yeah, my housemate got annoyed because I've moved my computer around. So now my computer sits with the wall and then his bed's right on the other side, and I get up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm playing with the speakers blurring. And next thing you know, he comes out very unhappy. I don't know why. But, yeah, I'm totally getting into the starter deck, so I'm pretty much trying to fill up all my inner will. I don't know why. I just, the completionist in me just says, you must do this. You must do it now. So, yeah, I would have played it this weekend as well, but I've been so busy. I haven't really played anything at all. It's been very upsetting.
And I mean, I'd love to devote half an episode once to how the hell you can get up and play games at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm amazed by that. You're obviously a morning person.
Usually when I go to bed.
Yeah, well, that tends to be the stereotype. That's the thing. I'm thinking, God, I couldn't think of anything worse. Like, you know, getting up and drinking at 6 o'clock. So that's well done.
No, I don't do that either. Yeah.
I was refastening my toilet seat at 6 o'clock this morning because whatever idiot lived here before put the bloody thing on backwards.
It's a new toilet
seat. How do you put a toilet seat on backwards?
You've changed the toilet seat though, haven't you? It's not the same one.
No, it's the same one.
Oh, boy.
Yes,
but the mounting bolts were reversed.
And
so every time you try to sit on it, you were too far back and the lid was sort of trying to chew its way through the middle of your back.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Stories. One of those.
Just when you're in the middle of business, it's the last thing you really need distracting you.
Yeah.
What is that?
There's a crackling noise. Someone's
sorry. Eating a chocolate bar.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to share with the rest of the class.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, see, I don't know. I think moving to a new place, I'd nearly want to change the toilet seat because you don't know who's died on it.
That's why I never go to public toilets.
Yeah. You know, chance of someone dying on that toilet seat, Simon's relatively high.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it'd be really hard for females in public toilets.
Having to sit on them, yeah, I know. All right, there's a nice little.
I don't mind if someone died on the damn thing, as long as they're not still there.
Yeah, true. Like Christie's dog,
or zombies.
What was he called? Dim Sim or something? Wasn't
he? Dim Sim the dog.
That's a good name for a dog.
So, issue 4 impressions. Yeah, very positive too. I spent a little bit of time last weekend, but like you, Christie, not a lot of time this weekend. I'm still embarrassed. I'm feel like I'm bogged down in Kingsmouth, although I'm on the verge of getting out. In that, I, for those that listen a few episodes back, I got overconfident, left Kingsmouth, went to Kingston Island. What's the next one along?
Savage Coast.
Savage Coast. Went to Savage
Coast. Do not go to the motel first.
Yeah, which, as we learned from Joel himself.
I don't know. I reckon they've dumbed that down because I found that a lot more easier than doing the Monster Hunters.
Yeah, my recollection is they have actually, I could be wrong, I think in one lot of the patch notes I read they did change some bits about the Overlook.
Yeah.
So I went back to Kingsmouth anyway and actually spent some time really tracking down a lot of the quests, and it's just... we've talked before about how amazing this game is, but one of the things is that it, unlike a WoW or even a Star Wars: The Old Republic, the quests don't necessarily stand out like dog's balls. They need to be found and sought out and stumbled across, and that's part of the fun. And so it's been great to actually go back and nail a lot of this stuff to the wall and feel like I actually can move on to Savage Coast.
Did they end up fixing the combat of that game at all? I haven't played it since beta.
Yeah, with 1.4, they brought in the reticle mode, which I must admit I haven't tried yet.
Was that like a first-person shooter kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds interesting.
So you can switch between them, and it was in one. Please tell me it was in 1.4. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was.
The
reaction seems to have been pretty positive, especially for... certain roles, just being able to select so accurately what you're actually trying to either heal or shoot.
So
something similar to what Star Wars Galaxies used to have with their aiming thing. All right.
You're the silent. See, if Ed was here, he'd go yes or no, but yeah, I'm sure it is.
His spirit's probably all up in the air right now because I mentioned SWG.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Don't mention Ubisoft. So with...
Oh, no.
I promise by next fortnight I'll have a go at the Reticle Combat, but it's... Yeah, it seems to be going well. Again, I noticed probably... I don't know that I noticed a lot more people on the servers, but there still seems to be a fairly healthy community there. And, Christy, I know you were talking before we started recording about that Joel had dropped some issue number 5 hints.
Oh, he had, and they sound very, very interesting. He talked about there being a larger story arc. They're going to put a new story arc in, which is going to go further into the lore, so you get to know more about the story and what's going on, which for someone like me is awesome. And he's even talked about how you'll be able to actually go into the fog for the first time. So, yeah, it's like, ooh, because you always hear about the fog and, you know, you see the fog, but you don't actually ever sort of interact with the fog.
There's the talk fog of at, sorry? At Kingsworth Town or something, that zombie town.
Yeah, yeah. It's right at the beginning. Yeah, this is where this story's going to start. I don't know where it's going to end. By the way they're talking, it's a very long, long story, so it could take you anywhere. There's talk of a new weapon and no real hints except it sounds out of this world. Physics might not actually have any purpose in this weapon, so be interested.
Oh, please
to see
let it be a portal gun. I want a portal gun.
Yeah, that would be good.
I was thinking chainsaw, but okay.
No, they came in 1.4, so yeah.
Yeah, I've already got that one.
I think
I'm already missing out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the PvP's been really enhanced as well. So you might want to have another look at it and just see if it tickles your fancy a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a little bit.
The story was awesome.
Yeah, we're a little bit like the cult of Secret World here, I know. But until
you're converting me.
Yeah, until our listeners complain, we'll keep talking about it because yeah, it's a great game. So yeah, Chainsaw came in and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, you're saying about being otherworldly. I thought for the next weapon they'd probably go the other end of the spectrum from something so physical as a chainsaw.
Mm. Oh, and to sort of dip into the Albion Theatre very briefly, I'm seriously thinking about popping over there on either the 13th, the 14th, or the 15th, to see one of the performances. Someone's doing the Telltale Heart or a version of it.
That's Edgar Allan Poe, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Edgar Allan Poe obviously isn't doing the performance since he's dead.
How do you know?
Yes.
How do you know? Yeah. The game's
really. Dim Sim's still here with us.
That's right. So is Edgar. it's a good point on the Albion Theatre. There's an interesting thread on the official forums I was reading yesterday where there are a lot of people dead interested in, and sorry, we talked about last episode, but briefly, the Albion Theatre is where it's a bit of a sandbox environment where you can put on your own performances and people can come and watch them. It's been fairly low utilisation as people find their feet and work out what it is they want to do with it. But from reading the thread, there are a lot of people planning stuff. There are some people doing some performances already with stuff planned for the future. It's going to be one to watch. I think they could be a real innovator in the space with that.
Mm. And you can sit on the chairs.
And I know,
yes,
I said last fortnight I was cynic. I thought it was a bit cheesy and I wasn't sure that it'd work. But as I always also said, I hoped I'd be proved wrong, and it looks like I may be. So it's good stuff. That's probably it for this.
Oh, there's a couple of more things.
Oh, sorry, issue 5 hints. Sorry, yeah.
Investigation missions will be repeatable. Yay! Ooh. I love doing those ones.
So just play devil's advocate. Why would you want to repeat an investigation mission as far as if you already know the hints and whatever? I suppose you write them down, but like aside from gaining XP, why would you want to redo them?
The fun is in the journey, not in the destination, because they are fun quests. I can't wait to do that Raven one again, you know, when you have to kill yourself. It's going to be fun.
You're not going all emo on us, are you?
I seem to be surrounded by death and spirits at the moment, don't I? It's like this black horror here. It's a little scary.
Whereas I'm thinking, bloody hell, there's another quest I haven't discovered.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, actually.
That's a Kingsmouth one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm depressed now. I don't recall the Raven one.
I don't remember that.
I got killed by that Raven. I got killed. That Raven.
Oh, there's two he Ravens ones. There's one where you go around and you kill this Raven guy. And then there's another one where, you have to speak to some ravens when you're a ghost. And it's just fun. I love it. And the last thing he's hinted at is that there will be a new event, but it won't be Christmas. Good. So for all of us who are like, you know, hate real world events in coming into our games, it's like, so we're going to get something, but it's not Christmas.
Boxing Day. Boxing Day event. That'll be cool.
What would be a Boxing Day event?
It'd involve a cricket match in the field out the back of King's Mouth.
Yeah, not a nice field where you all can get bored rigid for 5 days. That sounds like a great idea.
Cricket is not boring. It's a sport.
No, I was going to say, I agree with Christian. I'm a cricket tragic. But Simon, it sounds like you're not. You'd rather grout.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I would rather grout.
I agree with Sam.
See? We're evenly split. All right, we won't go there then.
I was going to say, at the moment with the test match, I might become anti-cricket. It's pretty ridiculous what they're doing at the WACA at the moment.
Yes, you're not wrong. And RIP punter, but anyway, that'll do for cricket for now.
Why are they always rubbing the cricket ball in their groin?
I always thought it was to turn people on, but, you know.
Yeah, all right. We're just going to move on. I just refuse to pander to such lack of knowledge. Wow, let's talk WoW. The past fortnight has been a biggie in WoW because not only are we only a couple of months into Mr. Pandaria, but just the other day, 5.1 dropped, which has been called Landfall. And we'll talk a little bit about the content updates in a second, how rapidly they're occurring. But 5.1 is just an expansion on the initial scenario where the Horde and Alliance have both discovered Pandaria. Well, now invasion forces have landed, and there's a whole bunch of new quests, new people to gain rep with. I don't think there was a new battleground, but lots of new content there. Only, you know, bugger all time after Mr. Pandaria's come out. So again, throwing to you, Christy, because I know you and I are solo on WoW this time. Oh, no, sorry, Simon, you rolled a monk. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, Christy, how have you found 5.1 so far?
I haven't played it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, see, here at Flashpoint, I do such great pre-show research. It's Simon and I that are solo on this. Yeah, so you go play with your spirit dog, Christy.
I will.
Simon, from what I know, you've only rolled a monk and started leveling that up. So has any of that happened since 5.1 dropped?
Yes, it has. And I can't honestly say I know anything about 5.1.
No, I was going to say, it wouldn't have been pertinent if you're only leveling up a monk. Yeah.
No. Although it is very nice to be able to sit on demand, go for a bit of a swim, and there's something about going back into WoW after so long and reading the quest window and the, you know, the dump sound you get when something goes into your quest log, and I couldn't help smiling because it was a little bit like going home in some ways because it's all so familiar, but it looks so fresh. They've really managed to do such a wonderful job with the starting zone. It looks and feels great. It doesn't look like an 8-year-old engine.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. That's why I re-rolled everything monk, so I could just keep doing it.
I can understand that.
Yeah, what level are you up to, Simon, with your monk?
Oh, he's not gotten very far, but he's just gotten the fire spirit to the temple, and he's just about to run off to that, what I suspect is going to be the mother of all jumping puzzles.
Oh, yes.
The water spirit.
Yeah. You're probably, what, 6 or 7, I think, level.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. It all happened very quickly.
Well, that's one of the improvements it made, is the level 0 to 85 leveling is much faster. I mean, I'm up to, I think, level 11, and I've put bugger all time into it. You're right, it's much easier.
yeah, it, at some points it felt like walk three steps. Congratulations, you've just leveled up. Okay, what was that?
Yeah, apparently the 85 to 90 grind, having only done it once, but yeah, there's no improvement there, but that's fair enough too.
No, that, but there never is. Anytime there's an expansion comes out, it's always the whatever the old level cap to the new level cap's always excruciating.
Yes. Well, as the solo landfall player, then I'll just say, look, I've done some of the initial stuff. I've done Operation... Oh, God, I'm going to get held down now. It's Operation Stone... It's not Stonewall. Anyway, the Alliance faction you're building rep with that have landed. Done a bit of that. Got my achievement yesterday. I decided to get determined, and there's an achievement now where you, if you do all 25 daily quests in one 24-hour period. So I actually did that yesterday. So I did a whole range of the different Pandaria quests, which was great to sort of zip around and check out a lot of them. And leveled up my monk and have my priest healer up to 82.5. So I'm keen to get them to 90 to help my guild out. So yeah, lots of WoW. I put my guilty hand up and say that everything else has suffered at the expense of WoW the last fortnight when I've had a chance to play. So the rapid content update, so 5.1's out, there's already talk about further content, and what you were saying, Simon, that it looks so fresh, is that this isn't a company that are going, okay, WoW's had its, you know, had a good run, we probably should start to ease off now. I'm not getting the slightest inkling. Now, whether that's, well, it's partly because they've still got 10 million subscribers, it's probably partly because Project Titan's still a bloody long way off, and so they can't lay back on their laurels too much, but there's lots happening, and all the cynics out there that have gone, I hated WoW pre-Cataclysm or even pre-Pandaria, it's worth going back to have a look if you can bring yourself to pay a sub for a month or two.
Yeah, mind you, there's enough people out there that aren't interested in the game after the Burning Crusade, so...
Yes.
there's all sorts. Sorry, you were saying?
Oh, there's just... Blizzard registered a new domain called Project Blackstone. So I don't know what's going on with that. So now they've got Titan and Blackstone.
Yeah. Geez, there'll be a lot of conjecture where that's the same project, different one. It might be the maybe it's the Project Titan first expansion.
They're getting in it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And the last shout-out I want to give here is to one of the other writers on the Oceanic Gamer, Jemima, who... did the most amazing article this week, and I'm just going to bring it up here. She even came up with a cool acronym. So what she did was she's called it the Zone by Zone Achievement Guide for Getting Across the Realm with Alliance Toons, which turns out nicely to be Zagarat. And what she's done with Zagarat is made the good point that when you, for those of us that are achievement junkies, and I know I'm certainly one. Christy, Simon, you guys give a shit about achievements, or it's not something that you particularly care about?
I am totally into it.
Yeah.
I do kind of, yeah.
I'm a rabid achievement junkie. So Jemima made the great point that a lot of the guides don't do it zone by zone, so you're constantly zipping back or working on particular areas like questing achievements or PvP achievements or whatever. So she's done this amazing work, and... we published part one, which was Elwynn Forest, Duskwood, Red Ridge Mountains, Westfall, Dead Mines. I think that covered it. I don't think I've missed anything there. Where by zone, Jemima set up these amazing tables that shows you every achievement required in that zone. So you can go, okay, I'm going to go to Elwynn Forest and spend the evening getting every achievement I possibly can in that zone and before moving on to the next one. And as far as I'm aware, no one else out there's done it. It's really well laid out, easy to read. Jemima created some beautiful PDFs that are both a screen-friendly and printer-friendly version. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. If you're a WoW player and you love your achievements, I can see these Zagarat guides becoming pretty damn handy. So part one, as I've just mentioned, part two will go live this week, and Jemima sent through to me just tonight part three, so she's nailing through it, and I can see they'll become pretty great references. So huge shout out to you, Jemima, great work. And I've also put a donate button on that because the amount of work she's put into that, if anyone finds it particularly useful, it'd be lovely if you could shoot a dollar or two through to reward what's pretty amazing work.
Anything? Hear,
hear. Hear, hear. Anything else on WoW before we move on? No. Matthew, I'm tempted to, except we're running long, so I was tempted to say, I know you said you played WoW and you wouldn't go, like you're not a big fan now, but we could get into a whole conversation. It'll take another hour, so we'll avoid it.
Yeah, probably. Good idea.
So let's move on to, let's just call it other. Because as I mentioned last week, we're not covering Guild Wars 2 anymore unless any particular interesting issues come up. And I did actually play a little bit in the last fortnight. When I say a little bit, probably 15 minutes. But it's putting along nicely.
I will say that that Guild Wars customer service, I've had first-hand experience with them this week, and they've been really helpful and really responsive. So, yay!
I've had the opposite with them.
Oh. Oh, well,
by
thanks.
The way, guys, do not subscribe to their newsletter because you cannot unsubscribe.
Yeah, that's a
and they do spam you. They send like, you know, when you say newsletter, you expect it to be every month or so, or when something big or new comes out. No, they will just anything. Like, hey, come play with us. It's like, can you please just stop spamming me?
Mm. New item on the Black Lion. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, and I've got it on two emails because I had to change my email address. So I've got it on both of them now, so I get twice. Oh, it's horrible.
Just on the sort of flip side of that concept, I got a rather sad email from NCSoft about City of Heroes, or rather from City of Heroes.
I cried yesterday.
I think it's worth acknowledging the passing of a good friend to many people and the loss of many beloved tunes.
Yeah, and I believe one of our co-hosts on this show tonight wrote a very nice article bidding farewell to City of Heroes.
Stop it!
Yeah, it's a shame because it was still profitable.
Yeah, I know.
So, but there we go.
There was a great comment, and I think it might have been on your article, Christy, from someone saying that it was essentially, Paragon was essentially closed from the time that NCSoft took them over, as far as that they got rid of a lot of the staff and just put it on maintenance mode pretty much from there on in.
It's really interesting seeing what NCSoft is doing because they seem to be just wanting money. Just give me money, give me, you know, and if it's not like, you know, Guild Wars 2 money, then, but, oh, sorry, someone just messaged me on Steam.
Probably your dog.
Oh, God, it's like text from the dog, but on Steam. It's going to be awful. Oh, no. Yeah, because it's pretty much if a game's not making, like, X, they just consider it to seem, you know, go away. But, I mean, well, they published and developed Ion, and Ion's been free to play, and I think Ion's still making money. So I hope they don't get trigger happy on any of their other MMOs because I like them.
No. Great point. And, yeah, I mean, I know Guild Wars 2's got some life in it. They it'd have to have some years' life in it to pay off the investment they've made in it. So other parts. So, Matthew, I know we're going to talk a bit about World of Tanks, and let's definitely do that. So for those that aren't in the know, and actually I probably just should shut up and let you explain, Matthew, what World of Tanks is, because you're the guy that plays it pretty much every day. So probably as a starter, give an overview of World of Tanks and how popular it is in respect to a lot of other MMOs.
Oh, okay. Well, World of Tanks is basically a free-to-play MMO. I don't know how they exactly consider it an MMO, but they do, and it won the MMO of the Year award. Go that. But basically, it's a game that goes from the start of early World War One tanks all the way up to around Cold War era tanks, you know, 1950s, 1960s, they're starting to get up to now. And it's just like a 15-on-15 battle, basically. Kind of like a war zone or a flashpoint or something, you know, where you've got players fighting it, but it's competitive. So you've got competitive PvP action. It's free. It doesn't cost you a cent. You download it, you get in, you click a battle button, you're in, you're straight away into action, and it's just great if you like competitive PvP. And yeah, it's pretty much the easiest way to explain it, I think.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. And the reason I haven't played it is, and about time I did a shout out to our most faithful listener, Gail. The reason I haven't played World of Tanks is purely because I'm too lazy to boot into Boot Camp and Windows. And although it is essentially a web, well, would you call it web based, Matthew? But you still need to you still didn't need to download the client, which is for Windows only. So, but that said, majority of computers are Windows. So, and in the scope of things, oh, there was a pun. In the scope of things, yes, I know. Sorry, that was sad. I just know that your scope is as far as users, it's one of the most popular MMOs in the world.
Yeah, it's right up there with League of Legends. I mean, just on the Russian server, because they do segregate, they separate each zone with their own servers, and they've only recently just put out like Southeast Asian servers, so Australians can now play with a more competitive ping instead of, say, like on the American servers, which we used to play on, which I now move to the SEA servers. But somewhere like over in Russia, the game is amazingly popular. Like, their servers have 500,000 players, and then you look over on the American servers, you got about, you know, almost 500 to 600 players. Oh, sorry, not 500 to 600. You look at 50,000 players, and then you look at the SEA servers, you're looking at 10 to 20,000 players, you know. And but it's always a good feeling when you know how, when say, like, with the Old Republic, you go and you queue for PvP and you're sitting in queue for bloody hours. Whereas if you go with World of Tanks and you want a quick PvP fix, like say you just woke up in the morning, you're like, bugger it, I want to kick somebody's balls in or something, you know, and you just click that battle button, bang, you're in within seconds, you know, and you're doing your competitive thing, and then you can go off to work and, you know, do your good shit.
And standing from afar, which is really much, pretty much doing the minimal editing required for your posts. And what interests me is every MMO is about stats and knowing what your stats are to get the most out of it. But it's probably the most real implementation of stats in that a lot of the stats are things that would have had to have been taken into account on the battlefield.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's what I really, really like about it. So
they take the historical statistics of tanks, like armor thickness and stuff, right into account. But also, because of balance issues, they do sometimes tweak it to non-historical values for balance, which is kind of a little bit irritating. But, you know, it's also that everyone has a bit of fun and stuff, you know?
Yeah, and because how long's actual World of Tanks? It must have been out.
It's been out 2.5 years now, almost 3 years, I think.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And patch 8?
Patch 8.0 came out about a month or two ago, and that one was one of the biggest patches I've done. And what 8.0 did is add new physics to the game. So originally, you couldn't drive off cliffs. Now you can actually drive off cliffs and land your tank on someone else's tank, blow them up, and kill yourself in the same process. But it's really, there's amazing funny stuff that's happening. Other stuff where you've got a guy who's camping near a cliff face and he doesn't see you coming, and you just come down, ram him, push him off a cliff, and he dies, and then you laugh at him.
See, I love that. That alone makes me want to boot in a Windows to download it.
Yeah, and there's other funny things where you can flip people's tanks so they're upside down and they can't do anything, and you just poke it and run away.
Oh, that's gold.
There's definitely some funny things, and that was all from patch 8.0. And then 8.1, which is the current patch live at the moment, added the British tank trees finally got added to the game, like your Cromwell, your Churchill, your Matilda, your Conqueror, and the Centurion. Added to the game, and they've also added some premium tanks, which are tanks that you pay real life money for, not to be considered pay to win. Some people may think that it's pay to win. They're actually weaker than other tanks that are in game, just a little bit, you know. So they're not like paying for an advantage, they're paying for a monetary gain advantage. So these tanks earn more credits than normal tanks, so they're money making. They help you save up credits to buy bigger tanks, kind of thing. So that's the way they go about it. So they added the Panther M10, which is a German Panther that was disguised to look like an American M10 tank destroyer. So that's an interesting thing they've done. They've added the Su-122-44, which is a Soviet tank destroyer. And I think I did a write-up on it, the Panzer IV. There was a Panzer IV originally, was a normal tank. They removed it from the game and then put it back in as a premium, but they buffed it and made it better. And that's the Panzer IV Schmalturm. And yeah, the upcoming patch, 8.2, It's currently on the test server with the Chinese tanks. They've got all these people over in China which are playing the game competitively, and they've got their own business partners there. And I think one of the main reasons they wanted to push the Chinese tanks out is they've probably gotten a bit of a nudge from their Chinese partners saying, hey, look, we want some Chinese tanks in the game now. So while I was writing up that review for you for the Chinese heavy tank, I actually found out that they're actually postponing the push of the Chinese tanks because there's a bit of a balance issue at the moment. But they're still going ahead with the American tree that was coming. They're adding some extra tanks to the American tree with autoloaders. And what an autoloader is a gun that has like a clip in it. And each time you shoot, instead of having to normally get a loader to pull out a shell and ram it up the cannon to fire again, it just mechanically loads straight again. So you can go bang, 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 you know, instead of a bang load thing. So those tanks are like playing a rogue in World of Warcraft. They're very bursty. You know, they get in there, they deal damage, and then they've got to run away while loading, have long load times. So that's going to be very interesting to see those tanks come into the game. But
I hate rogues. it's a very, very popular game, and there must be a lot of people. They should promote things like the ability to ram people over cliffs, because that whole slapstick or more funnier stuff can get a lot of people in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still devastated in WoW that I used to have a spell as a mage that allowed me to knock people over cliffs, and that partly made the game for me. I still miss it. So, fun times.
Yeah, that was one of the things that pissed me off about WoW, but we probably won't go into that. Yeah. Just the fact that they gave shamans an AoE knockback, and it was the first time on my death knight I was going up that, was it Howling Ford, that big lift from from the undead starting point, right? And I'm a blood elf death knight, and you go up there, and there's a shaman standing there, and he kind of like looks at you, and he targets you, and you're like, oh boy, this is not going to go good. So you charge in there, and then a second later, he AoE knocks you back off, and you're falling off the cliff. And back then, you used to be able to hit death grip while falling, so I pulled the bastard down with me and killed him.
Yeah, see, that's good.
And back then, death knights could reincarnate and come back as undead Scourge, and he'd reincarnate and have like 10% health. So I came back as an undead, killed him, and you could run into an instance and instantly get a free res. I just taunted him by doing that,
knocking people over cliffs, that made a whole month's subscription worthwhile to me, but I'm just funny like that.
Exactly.
So, excellent. Well, no, thank you for that, and thank you for all the work you do on the site too, because those articles are popular, and there's just so much interest, and I'm definitely going to make myself download that.
I have to try and do some more often. I've been busy with Clan Wars recently.
Well, the game comes first.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Simon, did you want to talk briefly about Firefall?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to start talking now? Sorry.
Only if you finish grouting.
Hang on.
Put the trail down.
Yeah. So Firefall, it's been in beta for a while now. For those of you that don't know, you can find it at firefallthegame.com. So Firefall the game, all one word. There is a backstory to the thing, and I've mentioned the little manga comics that they've done to introduce you to the backstory. And basically, it's an MMO, but and it does have story, but really, what it's there for is PvP, to the point where I think they're really going to be pushing it as an esport. And I think it could work too. It all takes place basically on a future Earth, which has pretty much been royally screwed up by an attempt to buy a ship called the Arclight to make the first, was it Fast and Light? Some kind of experimental drive that basically ends up, the ship crashes and it leaves its warp or portal or something open, which basically ends up screwing the whole planet up, apart from this one area in South America, which is where you start off. Now, we were talking about rocket boots before. In this game, you've got, they're jet boots, but same sort of thing. You've got them right from the word go. So you land in the ship and hit the button, you jump, and off across the landscape you go. It's awesome.
And it's in beta, you're saying?
It's in beta. You can go to the website and sign up for a to join the next beta. There's one on this weekend, which obviously is still going because it's US time. There's a few. Obviously, it's an MMO, so there are certain things that you have to concede are going to be common aspects of it, but they managed to put a new twist on a few of these things, which I've been quite impressed by. The first one is there is crafting, and you do have to go looking for stuff. Now, you get the main currency, I suppose, of the game called Chrysite pretty much from any enemies you kill, and that comes in very handy because there aren't classes per se. Your character is not a class. You choose a class when you first start off, or battle frame. And basically, it's this armored, this augmented metal skeleton, basically, that you get your character clambers into. And each of those frames has got a specific function. So you can actually start off with one battle frame. You go to one of the repair stations, and you've got enough chrysite, you can buy another battle frame. And you can start leveling that one up. So you have to. There's no leveling per se, but you know what I mean. It's still improving the stats of the gear. So it's effectively a respec, but you can respec all five battle frames if you want to.
And what's the release date? Do they have a formal release date yet?
They haven't got a formal release date at the moment, no. But I'd say the game's. It looks pretty damn finished to me. It's sort of got a bit of I'm not going to say cartoony, but it's a little Borderlands in its look. It's not cel-shaded, but it's a really distinctive, colourful look. I mean, it starts off and the whole place just kind of, it's colourful. It just kind of hits you in the face and you're going, there's a hell of a lot to look at here. And the game does reward you for exploring. As far as mining nodes go, all of the nodes are dynamic, so they don't appear. If you wait long enough, it won't reappear at that spot. You have to actually go around looking, and you get this device which basically releases as a sonic wave or something, but it allows you to see what's around you by sending this sort of vibrational wave out, and you can see if there's anything useful to mine. If there is, you summon this thing called a thumper down, which is like there's loads of these things flying around the planet, and it comes down and just like a meteorite just sort of spears itself into the ground and starts mining whatever you've told it to come down and mine, and this attracts loads of enemies. So you basically have to defend the drill by beating off all of these greeblies, and of course that attracts a bunch of other players who will just come on in and give you a hand fighting these things off, because they'll get benefits from helping as well.
That's a little bit Guild Wars 2-ish.
Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, obviously, you do a number of these things, it's all going to come a bit similar. But I think it's worth a look if you got a spare bit of time, and you know, if playing seven MMOs isn't quite enough and you need an eighth, I think this is well worth looking at.
Absolutely, you've caught my attention, because I go, a World of Tanks, and now I'll do that. Yeah, great.
Well, you've committed now.
Yeah, that's right, Marvel Heroes, and yeah.
Well, Marvel Heroes, you're safe for the time being, because I still haven't got an invite for that.
No, neither have I.
You don't have any of those farming quests where you have to go out in Firefall and, you know, help the farmers feed the cows and put the fires out, do you?
No, not that I'm aware of.
No, but that's Pandaria. There is all that.
Yeah, you do have to go out there and beat the snot out of things, though.
Good. Yes.
Excellent. Well, no, thank you for that mini review. So that's, as you said, yet another one to bloody keep an eye on.
Go and read the mangas if you do nothing else. The comic books are really well done.
And what a nice segue into what I was going to briefly cover, and that's the fact that we've decided on the site to start doing some comics coverage. So those longer-term listeners on the podcast know that comics come up here and there, and certainly Marvel Heroes being a comic-based franchise, and City of Heroes and DC UO. it was just a natural thing. We put out a call for riders a few weeks ago and had a young man called Sean Robertson from New Zealand offer to do some comic reviews, and he does some great comic reviews from what I've read so far. So we've launched our comics coverage. Sean's first two reviews are going live one of them at least will be live by the time you listen to this, which was FF number one, which, believe it or not, it's not Fantastic Four, although related to it. It's called Future Fund. Oh, now, no, that's a superannuation fund in Australia. I think it's Future Foundation, it is, number one. And also a Hellblazer trade paperback. So it won't be the dominant thing on the site, and we're very much about gaming and MMOs, but I think it's fair to say that comics sort of fit nicely into the interest areas we all talk about anyway, so very excited about that. Because I know, Simon, you're a comics fan.
For select titles,
yeah,
yes, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Selective is good. Matthew, into comics at all?
Oh, I got a few old Dark Horse Star Wars ones, but none of the recent stuff.
No, Dark Horse, yeah, Legend. And Christy?
Oh, yeah, until the comic shop closed in Perth, which was sad.
Yeah, don't start me on that. It's so, I mean, I don't have a comic shop nearby either, and it's, yeah, very frustrating.
I'm sure Comics R Us here in Melbourne would be more than happy to give you a hand.
Yeah, I need to. Well, there are places in Sydney too, you're right, and there are a bunch of places I need to get on. I am on a pull list from a small mob in Nowra, believe it or not, which is just about an hour south of me. But yes, and Comixology, for those unaware, I mean, digital comics are totally coming into their own now, and that's another option as well.
Oh, that becomes addictive.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. The Walking Dead. Oh, I couldn't put my tablet down.
Yes, So comics, and I don't believe we'll talk about them on the podcast any more than we currently do. I think it'll be a site-only thing unless we get significant feedback to the contrary. But just letting people know, if you like comics, we'll have a lot more coverage coming up, which is great. And thank you, Sean, for jumping on board with that. Anything from you, Christy, before we jump out?
No, I've been playing a little Torchlight 2 and Borderlands 2. And I must say, if you want to play Borderlands 2, but you're terrible at FPSs like me, get the Mechromancer DLC. It's like $15, unfortunately, but she is so much fun to play, and she does help with, you know, being a noob.
I love the Mechromancer. You can just shoot at the wall and everything around you dies because you get that bouncing bullets perk.
And Death Trap is so cute. It's like, summon him. It's like, go kill everything while I loot, like an MMO.
Yep, I do that.
And if you're super shit at FPSs like I am, then seriously consider the new SimCity, which I saw the preview, the trailer for today, or a bit of gameplay footage. I mean, I first played SimCity on the Super Nintendo console, and the stuff I saw today on Game Break is just amazing, how far that game's come.
It looks pretty incredible, doesn't it? Yeah. Especially with the model view.
Oh, yeah.
It's like looking at a little railway set.
Yes, so I think I'll definitely be picking that one up.
Just while you're bringing that sort of thing up, I am slightly ashamed to say that for any of you that have a PlayStation 3 and have ever gone into PlayStation Home, it's amongst dressing your avatar up to look like a complete idiot and talking crap to people in Home Square. There's also mini games in there, and one of them is something called Home Tycoon, which is like a really dumbed-down basic SimCity, effectively.
Okay.
But you don't have to lape water pipes or something. You just got to stick a water power up and stick up a wind turbine, and that's your water and power sorted out. There's no sanitation for some reason. Apparently, my simulated population don't.
Poo.
Crap. Yeah. but that's okay because they can't drive either. I've seen some very, very, very bad driving by my little. But the point
can
I was.
They merge?
Have sex, you mean?
No, merge. As in, you know, when they're driving.
They can't even corner.
They just keep going straight.
Well, when they're turning a corner, they sort of. They mount the curb repeatedly.
That's not very nice.
No, well, the curb's not terribly keen on it. But the point I'm slowly getting round to is because it's a free game, the idea with any of these sorts of things in home is they get you in with the free game and then you pay real money for other bits and pieces. I worked out very quickly that I'd spent, I think, $30 on buying gold coins in my first play of this thing and thinking, okay, well, maybe EA and BioWare should have taken a lesson from this thing. Because I've nearly paid for a 3-month subscription because this thing just pulled me right in, and it's just something that basic. There's you when you do something right,
yeah,
with a game, even if it's basic, you pull someone into the premise. That's where it works. That's where DayZ worked. That's where some of these silly little POS games and Home really work. That's why Home's still there. Because people actually go in there and they buy the new hat, they buy the bundle set of funky dance moves, and all of the nonsense in there, vanity items. If BioWare can make this the cartel shop work, I mean really work, then they're basically going to be printing money. Yes. But they've just got to keep it stocked and do away with these silly lottery boxes.
Yeah,
I agree.
You just reminded me of something with the Secret World too that I laughed and I must get a video capture of it. Is
not that, the horsey dance.
Well, it's the Gangnam style dance in the Secret World. You can dance Gangnam style in the Secret World.
Really?
It's as funny it is so as awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, in issue 4, there were 3 or 4 new dancers. One was Gangnam style. One was it the samba, and there was another. Was it the horsey one that came in issue 4? There was another stupid one. But anyway, Gangnam Style was the first one I did, and I just about fell off my chair laughing when I saw it. It really does it well.
My character has pink bunny slippers, so it looked even better.
It's gold. So that's what I like about the Secret World, is that they're small and agile and can just put in funny little things like that, yet it doesn't – it probably does wreck the immersion, actually, but at least it keeps it current day.
No, well, I don't think it does.
It's real world, so it works.
Yeah, it's real world.
Yeah, you're surrounded by horror. You're obviously going to do something to light. I mean, look, Buffy was a horror show, but let's face it, it had some of the best lines in it.
That's right. No, so Gangnam in Secret World. There you go.
Awesome.
All right.
That's a great to end on.
Let's call it there. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks as always for joining us. Usual shout outs for our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. Same for Twitter, twitter.com/TheOceanicGamer. I've got links to Simon's Twitter and Christy's blog on the show notes. Christy, I know you warned with the link to your blog, there's nothing on it at this stage, or is there is now?
Oh, no, there is a couple of articles in there, yeah.
Brilliant. Virtualdropbears.com is a bit hard to forget. See, I even know the URL. It's
so awesome. And my WoW guild is called Drop Bear Launch Detected. So, you got to keep with the times.
And I mean, RPG Beats RL is a hell of a Twitter handle too. So if you can remember them, they must be good. Twitter, Facebook, and an email address, contact@oceanicgamer.com. Matthew, big thank you to you in particular. Thanks for coming in. And I'm
no
sure,
problem.
I think I mentioned, we're coming up to our 50th episode, which will be in the new year sometime. And I'm thinking at this stage we might have see if Skype doesn't fall over and we have a large panel, or I don't know, have some fun for the 50th episode. So
something big.
Yeah, it'd be great to have you back for that. Get Mark back. If you're listening, we'd love to have you back. Maybe get Ed to dial in from Albuquerque.
Can we ban the laugh, or do we have to put up with the laugh?
I reckon you probably have to give him one go at the laugh for the 50th.
Have the isotopes moved to Albuquerque yet?
The isotopes? I haven't got that reference. Whereas
Someone out there will understand what I'm talking about.
Whereas Weird Al Yankovic's song, Albuquerque, is one of the best songs ever written. If you ever get a chance to check it out on YouTube, it's gold. So, yes, thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Simon and Christy, as always. And we'll be back, I'm assuming, for a pre-Christmas episode. We haven't talked about that, but we will after the show. So, but yeah, I'd say we'll be back before Christmas, and we'll see you for episode 48 then. Bye from all of
us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.